Well, again, welcome to Advent, the season of expecting and waiting. My wife has a great story of how she and her brothers, every time this season came around, would build this fort right next to the front door. Out of pillows and blankets and chairs, they would stock it with snacks and coloring books and different activities to do because they knew they were going to hunker down until the UPS guy showed up. They have an aunt who lives in California, and she was that aunt who always would send more than she was supposed to. You know. And so they would wait, because the day the UPS guy came with the packages from Aunt Kathy was possibly the best day of the year. And they would wait by that door expectantly. Now, at first listen, one might think this is a story of anxious children waiting for new toys from the aunt who always got them more than she was supposed to. But as I have heard the story multiple times over the years, I have come to love it for the way it speaks to relationships and love that's symbolized through giving and receiving and waiting. There was something about the way they were connected, even over distance in those moments. The fact that when Kathy hears the story told even to this day, she lights up knowing that they were thinking of her. These moments are about waiting and how relationship builds in those moments. You see, this is our Advent story. This, right now, in this place, this is us building a fort next to the door, waiting for an overgenerous God to send us more than we ever could imagine. That's why this Advent at Highlands United Methodist Church, we are celebrating the gift. The gift of Christmas is dynamic and inclusive and more than we could ever imagine. It arrives in a manger in the simple, familiar form of a child, and yet contains all of the mystery and the eternity of the divine. The gift of Christmas is the ultimate act of giving grace that will in turn become and grow into the ultimate example of living grace. This holiday season, we celebrate the gift that is Jesus. That gift we celebrate is so immense. We spend 4 weeks getting ready to receive it. Each week of Advent, we reflect on another way that we might see and know the gift of the Advent season. Hope and peace and love and joy. Now, the four words that make up our Advent time, they can get shuffled around depending on the pastor and the church. We'll use those words in any order that seems to fit for the season, with one exception. We always begin with hope. In almost every single Christian church around the world today, we are united around the idea of hope. Because that's how our waiting begins. In a way, each year we use this day to reclaim hope, especially the meaning of the word. Hope is often misunderstood and misrepresented. I mentioned it last year, I'll mention it again, you're going to hear this from me over and over. Hope is not about wishing or wanting. So often we use them as if they're all synonyms. But hope is not about wishing or wanting. Too often we use that word hope when we really mean something else. And then hope can lose some of its meaning. Hope in its truest form is something we have. It's not about something we want. Too often hope is misnamed as being about things and circumstances that we desire. When we call that hope, when we make hope about wishing and wanting, we're making hope empty and passive. And that's not hope. Hope is active. Hope is full. Hope isn't out there dependent on something we may or may not get. Hope is within us, growing out of what we have already received. In our misnaming and misidentification of hope, we often parallel much of what the world was dealing with some 2,000 years ago leading up to that first Christmas. Parallels that I honestly believe still exist today. You see, amidst the wishing and the wanting and the waiting of life, there is a tendency, a human tendency, to allow the divine, much like hope, to become distant, empty, and passive. You see, to find it not within ourselves, but to long for the divine as if it were somewhere far off. Then, just as now, humanity falls victim to the fallacy that God is somehow distant and external and something we can only wish for. God is too often misnamed and misknown, misunderstood, misidentified. So where is the hope in that? Today, we claim the promise and celebrate the gift of hope has been, is, and will be real in this world, in this community, and in our lives. Today we celebrate the gift that hope is not dependent on our own belief or understanding, but that hope is rooted in our creation, and most importantly, in our Creator. Hear the authors of John describe it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. For the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This piece of poetry, the prologue to the Gospel of John, is an invitation, even more, a declaration of hope. Not hope that is distant, external, passive, or empty, but hope that is with us. In fact, that is our hope. God is with us. For what our scripture is laying out for us is the identity of Jesus as one who was with and of and from God, come to be Emmanuel, God with us. And through the gift of Jesus this Christmas, we will receive the hope that comes with God with us. Now, did you hear the scripture talk about Jesus? Because Jesus isn't actually named in the scripture. Well, he is, but he's named using the Word. Now, this is ironic to me because the word being used in the instance, Word, isn't really the right word. Let's see if I can make this less confusing by using fewer words in a literal sense. In the Greek, if we substitute a Greek word, what we find the scripture saying is this. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God. And the Logos was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, Logos has been translated into English, rather awkwardly, as Word with a capital W. Now, this is disappointing because it's very hard to talk about, both philosophically and even practically. The first time my wife saw some of my writing, she was like, why did you capitalize the word Word? I was like, oh, because it's different than the word Word. It's the word Word. You can see how this conversation went downhill very quickly. How can we as humanity define that which was with God and is God in a word? How can we as humanity experience the infinite, let alone talk about the infinite? This problem that we have in even naming it is something that God has been dealing with since the beginning. This has been God's conundrum since humanity began. How does God express infinite love and grace to us finite little people? God knew that more than words were needed, because the words just weren't doing it. Any of the words. You see, to fully embody all that God was and is and can be, to capture the divine essence of creation and the relationship that God had offered since the world was spoken into being, God needed to do exactly that. Embody it. Embody it. Or as our scripture puts it, that which was with God became flesh. God is with us. That is our hope. And that's the gift that we celebrate this day. So there's been a lot of talk in the last couple weeks about retail decisions to open stores on Thanksgiving. Not going to get into that conversation. But there's also been a big focus on Black Friday in just the recent years. It seems to be this big newsworthy event. The only thing that even came close to eclipsing the Black Friday coverage was the idea that the Macy's Day balloons may not actually get to fly. There's this fascination with the busyness and chaos of the holiday shopping season. Now, I'll be honest, I never had to work on Thanksgiving. But when I worked retail, I did have to get on a shuttle at 4 a.m. from the employee parking lot to get driven 6 miles to the mall to get there to open at 5 a.m. and work a 12-hour shift. Yay, retail! Holiday retail can be so crazy. But it's an important experience I think every single person should have. Because you can watch rational, decent human beings become shallow husks of their former selves over a Furby. The simplicity and openness of the store where I worked, we had this beautiful open floor plan, very elegant kind of a feel. It was overrun with a flood of consumers who were wishing and wanting and longing, with the misplaced belief that their purchases would do and be more than they ever could. "I hope they like it," people would say as you put it in a bag. Now, this is where working retail while in seminary is very complicated. Because I wanted to say to them, "No, no, no, you wish they will like it or want them to like it." Hope is something completely different. But there was no time for that conversation. There were days on that crazed sales floor that you just didn't know what was going on or what to do. I think holiday retail can reflect humanity. There are days things get so chaotic and crazy we really don't even know what to do. How are we supposed to help anybody? We can't even figure out where we are or which end is up. But we know it's our job to be out in the world making a difference, helping people, meeting their needs. But then there were days, even in the midst of the holiday rush, that things were different. And those were the days when our good managers were working. You see, we had two kinds of managers when I worked retail. We had good managers, and then we had the other managers. See, management had this office in the back. They could sit in their office and watch everything that was going on with comfort and distance and often hot cocoa. A lot of empty Starbucks cups in that office. You see, they would sit in that office as the little people hurried from sale to sale, fielding questions and packaging products. Most of the managers would simply watch the numbers come across on their live reports and see our blurred images streak across the security cameras. "Oh, yeah, things look okay. Oh, better talk to Brad at the end of the day. Things are a little slow. Okay." But my favorite managers were never found in that place. My favorite managers would come and work with us. There was something so encouraging about having management on the floor working alongside us. There was something so supportive about having management there on the floor working alongside us. You felt supported and understood at the same time. You see, you felt supported because they were actively doing something to better everyone's experience. The people that were there shopping and those of us that were there working. And then to top it off, they not only were doing what they were asking us to, but often because of their experience and their background, they were modeling the best ways to make things happen so we could learn while we were doing it. You know, you also felt understood, because when you had a rough moment or a rough customer, you knew that they'd been there living through it with you. Not just as some distant observer or someone who would hear your story and say, yeah, I'm sorry, that happens, back on the floor. But they were there and they could look at you and say, oh, that's hard. I just dealt with it 2 minutes ago. We'll share our stories. Now, I would never want my managers to know that in this metaphor I'm developing, they play the role of God. Because several of them already believed that they were. But this metaphor became too real for me not to notice it. This is the weird thing about being in seminary and retail at the same time. But the hope that comes with God with us is about the support and understanding that Jesus brings into our world and into our lives. The gift we celebrate this Advent season is one of support. Because in Jesus' life, we will see active work in love that makes the world a better place. All the while, He will model ways that we can do the same and get better at what we do. In the gift we celebrate this Advent season, we can be understood because when we have a rough moment in life, you know, those human moments that make up who we are, we can know that God has lived through it too. Not just as some distant observer, but as someone who can say, yeah, been there. Let's talk. This is the hope that we carry into the Advent season. That in a manger in Bethlehem, hope will be born again. Hope that stirs within us. Hope that is active and alive. Hope that can carry us through the most difficult and human of experiences. Because God is with us. That's what we celebrate this day.